we're back in a in a manner of speaking, for first time for a while. As the background noise suggests, we are in a restaurant, and by we I mean myself, Neil Davey, and
Chris Osborne. Hey, how you doing? This is the first time I've been recorded in a while.
So,
oh my god!
That you know of.
Yeah. There's all that CCTV footage, but we won't talk about that.
It was dark.
Not while this is recording.
It was dark. It was in a mask. It's still, there's still some speculation whether it's actually you. So yeah, so we're back. We're attempting to podcast on a more regular basis. I guess we should also nod to our theme music.
Yes.
If we can remember.
If we can remember. No, it's by a band called E-Dub, I-I-D-U-B, and the song is called something else.
It's been a while. It's been a while. We'll come back to that one.
Yes. Maybe we'll do a really good outro.
Yes.
All right.
So we may need to edit this one out. But yeah, so we are sitting in Black Mean Look, which is a sort of Louisiana-influenced restaurant from Jacob Kennedy, the man behind Boca de Lupo, sitting on Islington Canal. We're about to have brunch, so if we may get disturbed by the arrival of plates. But so Chris, run us through what the plan is.
So we're going to try to keep this nice and positive, and basically just go through a few things that have been happening recently that either or both of us have really enjoyed. So like a few good things that we've enjoyed, that we've consumed or experienced, and I want to share with you and celebrate. Yeah.
Exactly. No, I think it's nice.
Some local, some a little far away, some we're looking forward to, maybe.
Yeah, and a little positivity is nice after 2 years of shit fuckery.
Yes.
And actually sit
in a restaurant together.
Exactly.
Wow.
Which I think is, from my perspective, is definitely one of the good things we want to talk about, the fact that we can go out. Whether it's wise remains to be seen. Whether we're all going to die from a new variant, who knows? But at the moment, we can do this. We can eat. We can sit face to face, and we can actually make plans. I don't know about you. I've had so many gigs that have been postponed.
Yes.
Over the last year or two.
Yeah, I was supposed to be in Italy last week on a very nice trip. A bit of a splurge as well, and EasyJet decided to cancel our return flight, so we could make it out there, but we had no idea when we were going to get back, which sounded very romantic in a way until I realized I do have a job and a mortgage and all sorts of fun stuff like that. Yeah. So anyway, yeah, it's been frustrating. You making any plans?
There's a few. One of the other things I know we want to talk about is the return of travel. So we're both keen travelers, both keen travel writers. I've just come back from a trip to California.
You got lucky with your plans. You made it out there. Yeah,
made it out there. I was in California. Had a couple of days in LA. Did a little group trip up to the Central Coast. So main town is called San Luis Obispo. The area becomes known as SloCal, Slo County, SLO. And also,
I see
it's
what
kind
they did there.
Exactly. Yeah. And they're very big on the farm to fork thing. It's a really pretty part of the world. Yeah, kind of, you've got the Pacific Coast Highway sort of going through, amazing scenery, great food, really good sort of farm to fork ethos there. Burger King once attempted to open in the region, and the locals saw it off. They never supported it. They went to the local places instead. So it's a really nice kind of vibe. Some great wines, some really pretty scenery, some very good food, some very good strawberries.
Strawberries.
I had some very, very good strawberries.
All right, it's a strawberry country.
So it's just nice to be able to get off Plague Island and go to slightly bigger Plague Island, to be fair.
Yeah.
And Chris, you're...
Yeah, hopefully my next big travel plans will see fruition. I am hopefully going to be in Texas in about 4 weeks. I'm going to Austin to play, to have some fun, but also see some family. And I'm really looking forward to eating some proper barbecue. There's a couple of restaurants high on my list. Maybe we can talk about those next episode or sometime down in the future. And playing around in the water. I've been doing some research of swimming holes and lakes and rivers in and around Austin and Travis County, and That sounds actually very nice to me, very refreshing. It's going to be pretty warm in May in Austin, so probably want to make a splash while I'm there.
Nice. The full Southern experience. Mm. The immersive.
The immersive. Yeah. Absolutely, yeah.
So, and again, I mean, we've both been talking, I mean, travel has been limited a little bit, but even that's not the thing. So I think we can celebrate that as a good thing.
Yeah, I will say I've been pretty lucky to make little day trips and things like that. As soon as it was allowed and we were able to do that. And one recently I've done was go down to Fishbourne Palace, which is an old Roman villa just outside of Chichester. And apparently this is the oldest, it's the biggest Roman residence ever found north of the Alps. So from the ancient Roman Empire. And was built only about 30 years after the Roman conquest of Britain. So they set up shop.
It's always been the Roman counties.
And as far as they know, I mean, it's a bit of speculation, but as far as they know, it was actually an indigenous person who lived there. It's like an actual Brit, not a Roman, coming over. And that the indigenous people who lived in that part of the world, part of Britain at the time, actually saw themselves as part of the Roman Empire rather than as occupied. Living in an occupied country. So that's an interesting perspective. And from what I could see, it made sense because life was good. The main thing at this palace was that the lots of mosaics, some in really nice, beautiful, perfect condition. And these weren't even discovered until sometime in the 60s, the late 60s. And a lot of the excavation went on in the 70s and 80s. And so it's a fairly recent discovery. Basically just buried under mounds, and you could even find plow marks on some of the tiles from medieval farming, where they were only just below the topsoil, but the local farmers had no idea. So it was really fascinating. It's
wonderful.
Completely worth the day trip. Nice, beautiful area down in West Sussex, which I think you've been to recently as well.
Yeah,
huh?
I've just come back. I mean, we're here. Sort of about to sort of brunch on a Saturday, and so I spent the last 2 days down in West Sussex. Visited a vineyard called Ashling Estate, which is A, extremely British, B, wonderfully British. They do some fantastic sparkling wines. They've got their cuvee has a Decanter Gold Award, which is actually like, unlike so many wineries where they kind of, oh, it's a gold medal winner, and you look into what it's won, and it's like best wine produced in the 30-mile radius it's kind of, this is a genuine thing, and there was a national competition for the best sparkling wine in Britain, which we're doing quite a lot of and doing very well at the moment, and Ashling Park QA has won for 2 years running.
Alright,
so beautiful site, really nice people, great food, lovely little lodges you can go and stay at, and the most exciting thing was they have a gin school.
Alright,
they make their own gin.
See, I had a lot of gin when I was going to school, but I think this is different from what you're talking about.
It's booze and science. I mean, we were commenting during it, so if only our science classes at school had involved more booze, we may have paid more attention. But yeah, you get...
I can make this at home.
I can take up to sort of about 20 people. There's 10 kind of tiny stills in this room. Sarah, the lady who runs it, is fantastically knowledgeable and helpful. And yeah, we played around with some different botanicals and spent a couple of hours learning about the history of gin. And we made 2 bottles of gin to our own specifications.
So how many botanicals did you use?
We went 11.
11. So obviously juniper.
Juniper, has to have juniper. We did the standard things, those kind of sort of licorice root, orris root, which are kind of...
It's an iris plant, isn't it?
Yeah. There's a couple of things you generally use because it kind of fixes the flavours of other stuff. But yeah, we went for a very kind of citrusy, some dried sweet orange, some dried lemon, some lemon verbena, all sorts of odds and sods. It was just...
Quencher, kind of.
Yes. So the question now is, we've got to kind of come up with a name. So we've got, it's labelled, but we haven't actually named it yet. So we're thinking
So it's a competition. It could be a competition for our listener. I mean, our listeners.
Listener. I think you're right. Listener. So as my wife is a big David Bowie fan, so we did think the Gin Genie at one point.
Right, okay.
But so it may have come there. But we'll see. We'll see. But yeah, no, fantastic.
If it was low alcohol, it got zeros.
Just for one day.
Just for one day, and then that would be a better idea, yeah. Oh, nice. All right.
But yeah, a really great. We'll throw the links up on online.
In
and
our
stuff.
Show notes.
In the show notes.
Show notes. We're going to have show notes.
In the show notes. So yeah, I mean, that's kind of, yeah, we've both been touring the UK, so I mean, that's a lovely thing. And you also had a little brush with other history.
Yes, okay. So kind of history related, but also drink related, although I didn't get to have anything to drink when I was there. Was being able to tour one of Henry VIII's wine cellars, which is actually located underneath the Ministry of Defense in Whitehall, the main building for the MOD. Long story short, my work takes me around London, my day job, so to speak, takes me around London, and I had to go and deliver some training at the Ministry of Defense. And I'm going to leave it vague like that because it sounds much more interesting than it really was.
I'm sure there's a gigolo joke.
There you go. Yeah, but anyway, I was there, and when I was there, my host around the time, I had to be sort of escorted around. I couldn't even, like, go to the toilet without somebody standing outside waiting for me, which I'm sure they enjoyed. But anyway, while I was there, one of the hosts was like, "Hey, we would love to show you the wine cellar downstairs."
They say that to all the people I watched go to the toilet.
So it felt like a typical sort of historic landmark sightseeing place. It was just that it's only accessible to people visiting the MOD or who work there. But then you follow the signs down, and it's this old Tudor wine cellar with barrels, with really old doors. I don't know, ancient stuff. But just really fascinating. So I don't know how anyone could ever arrange that other than if their work takes them there, they've got a contact somehow. But it was fascinating. I know the MOD uses it for internal events and parties and things like that. And it was set up for that sort of thing. But it was just really, really fascinating to think just there, you know, and how long that history's been in this one specific part of London. I think even when Henry VIII was there, I think it was his residence until it burnt down. Somebody should Google that. But it was definitely, it's been an important part
of
history for a long time.
It's nice that they kept it as it was. I think that's a really nice touch.
Yeah, absolutely.
So often
yeah.
These things, they kind of tear down or build or turn into an office. Or
it kind of makes sense because it's close to the river, so you can easily roll or transport the barrels from there to Whitehall, that sort of thing. So, yeah.
Brilliant. Well, I guess, is that 5? Is that 4? I can't remember. I've lost count of where we are on the. I think we called it a few good things, just on the basis of. Actually, one thing I've got to also talk about.
Yes.
Going back to the travel stuff.
Okay, yeah, California.
As someone who's not a big fan of roller coasters, generally, and would typically avoid. And we got taken as a beautiful beach called Pismo Beach. Hugely long, wonderfully sort of deep, long beach where they allow people to drive. And at the far end of the beach are some amazing dunes, which have featured in all sorts of movies and Beyonce videos and Rihanna and videos and such.
Okay. Sorry,
it's all right.
Your food
interruption.
I'm really sorry about the water.
Oh, it's
all right.
Yeah.
Would you like another couple of
drinks,
maybe?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, another drink was.
Sorry, I want to
got
it.
Can I have a Sazerac?
Sure.
Oh, that's a good call. That's a very good call. I'll do Sazeracs.
No problem. Thank you.
Absolutely. Brilliant. So we were in the dunes and got taken out on a former military Humvee. Which is an absolute beast of a thing. I mean, you want to kind of push, in the era of positivity and the sense of positivity of the podcast, really want to celebrate good things and nice things and kind of ecologically sound. However, driving a big fuck-off military vehicle over sand dunes is one of the best things I've ever done in my life. These things are absolute beasts. They go about as fast in reverse as they do forward. The guy that was driving just throwing this thing around at speed at ridiculous angles, sort of driving down what felt like almost vertical drops, up almost vertical slopes, and then doing the whole thing in reverse. Came back, I'm still finding sand in my ears. It was remarkable. Have since investigated, you can do this as a visitor. So if you find yourself on Pismo Beach, there's kind of Humvee experience. I think it costs $58 per person, and I would heartily recommend it. It's about the best $58 you can spend anywhere right now.
Oh, yeah. Very, very nice. Anything else to add while we're waiting for our next drink?
We've got some drinks coming, as you may have heard. We've got some food coming. We've also got another dinner later in the week. So we'll knock it on the head for now. But if we'll try and record a little bit after that one, and we'll dissect brunch at Plaquemine Lock in a
Excellent.
Few days.
I'm looking forward to it, man. This especially the praline bacon. Sounds very good. It's coming soon, huh?
Dirty and sticky.
Yes.
It's just how we like it.
All right. Okay, so we are back with All Consumed. This is Chris Osborne, and Neil is on the other end. Neil Davey, how you doing, Neil?
Hello. We're using technology. We're not face to face for once.
I think it's
the first time we haven't seen each other for a week. We did really well last week.
That's why we sound so happy. Huh? Yeah. All right. Okay. Yeah. Well, last we were recording, we were just about to dive into that fantastic Louisiana and Southern style brunch at Plaquemine Lock over near Angel Station in Islington, and right on the canal, actually. And what did you think about that meal, Neil?
I thought it was an awful lot of fun. I think they've really sort of upped their game there. The first few times I went, not long after it had opened, it felt a little, I don't know, Louisiana light. It was almost like a little pastiche of what New Orleans can be. Now, I think I'm even down to a little view of the water. The space, they've taken away some of the more sort of novelty things that seem to be hanging around. I think some of the food's really good. I think the cocktails are excellent.
I agree. The cocktails were phenomenal. Food was very good. Some of it I thought was very, very good. But yeah, the cocktails, particularly the Sazerac and the Bloody Mary, I thought were fantastic.
I guess Southern food. I mean, in terms of Southern food, I mean, you've clearly eaten a lot more than I have. I've done my best.
Let's see. What was good there about the meal? Do you have any highlights from the food?
I think for me, I mean, I really enjoyed the shrimp and grits. I thought they were...
Gumbo. I approve of the gumbo. I thought that was good. And
That's crazy indeed, coming from a Southern gent.
There you go. Well, Southern. I'll let you decide, folks, decide if I'm a gent. But yeah, I thought those two dishes were the best, obviously. I'd go there again.
Yeah, I thought the fried chicken was very good as well. Yeah, sorry?
There's live music, by the way.
She was excellent. I don't know how what the program is, whether it's the same person week on week, but the young lady that was playing and singing when we were there, I thought was terrific.
Yeah, I agree. Very nice atmosphere. Thanks for setting that up. I think I was your guest on that one.
An absolute pleasure.
And then awesome.
We also got to dine last week.
Another fantastic meal. This one. Right off Oxford Street, on Duke Street in Mayfair, at a place called Apricity. Yes.
Yep. And we got to learn a new word.
Yes, and it is a real word. What is it? The warmth of the winter sun?
That's the one.
Okay.
What a great word. It's a great word to know.
Absolutely. A great chef to know, too. Who's behind this great operation there?
That's Chantel Nicholson, who was at Treadwell's. So I think this is her first kind of properly solo venture. I know we both ate several times at Treadwell's. It's terrific.
I was excited to see this new restaurant had opened.
Yeah, and it's got a really interesting sort of ethos, absolutely kind of on brand and on message for, sort of the ethical, the sustainable. Down to there's no menu, they're sticking with the QR codes, there's fantastic reuse of kind of waste bits of veg.
One for a zero waste policy, I believe, isn't it?
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Certainly, I think they're calling themselves low waste at the moment, but I think I imagine the ambition is to.
A blue jean or a kitchen ethos? Oh, yeah.
It's I wouldn't know anything about low waste. I need to cover mine up. So
low waste recipes for big belly folks. Yeah, no, I think everybody there look quite slim and eager to eat and happy. So yes. You and me weighing down the front.
Yeah. Well, they did put us in the window. They put us in the window. That was
Yeah, we were concerned that maybe. We were driving people away, or maybe thought, well, if those guys are happy eating there, we can find something. Yeah.
Yeah. That was some very, very clever cooking, some really interesting things. The pastrami, the pig heart pastrami.
Yeah, there you go.
Tucked away in one of the dishes. The mushrooms I've been sort of dreaming about all weekend.
I was going to say, as much as I was excited about some of the meatier dishes, my favorite, I assume, was, well, definitely plant-based, and I assume vegan, was the crispy summer oyster mushrooms with smoked hemp cream and a black garlic ketchup. That was the highlight, wasn't it?
That was terrific. Some really interesting stuff. They're doing some really clever, just kind of reducing down leftovers, making some really interesting sauces. There's it's as well as being kind of ethical, it's not worthy, it's not preachy either, which is something I really like. Yeah, it's just doing it because it's the right thing to do.
Okay, fancy menu, nice postcode, Mayfair. I was kind of thinking, what am I getting into here? But it did feel very casual and light, and the emphasis was just enjoying yourself, eating good food, and drinking great wine as well. I was really impressed with the wine menu. Again, kind of focused on orange wines, natural wines, and they even had a wine blended here in London from the Renegade Winery, which I was keen to follow up on sometime.
So yeah, they're not far from you, are they?
No, they're here in Walthamstow as well, along where the Black Horse Lane breweries are. I think they're around that area. I've walked by there, but I haven't checked them out, but I intend to.
Fantastic. Well, I think, I mean, in terms of if we're talking positive things and good things we're doing, I think both of those meals certainly qualify.
Yeah. Another great cocktail from there was, speaking of about drinks, they had a really great old fashioned that was made with miso and brown sugar and rum. And that's how I started the meal. And it was a very nice note to begin with. And everything else just was just delicious. Definitely go back there again. And
yeah, great team as well. Really, really knowledgeable, friendly. Yeah. So
they endured me. So there you go.
No, I really, really enjoyed that meal. It was a very, very good. I think it's a really welcome addition. And hopefully, I mean, there'll be other restaurants that kind of sort of follow similar ethos or start to learn. But yeah, there are various things that you can do. Little gestures. Well, I guess like what we're trying to do with this podcast, little steps towards positivity.
Positivity, yeah. Very, very good. All right. And with respect to the things we've mentioned before and during this recording for this episode, we'll probably have some show notes for this, yeah? And,
give absolutely. We'll get some stuff out on online. We'll add some bits to the website, and links to some of the menus, etc.,
which is allconsumedpod.com. And you can also follow us. I'm at Tiki Chris on Twitter and on Instagram. It's my name, Chris, O-S-B-U-R-N, Chris Osborne on Instagram. How about you, Neil? How can people follow
you? Yeah, I mean, you can track me down all the socials. I'm Dine Hard, just because I'm a lover of terrible film and food puns. And I finally updated my website. So there are new things on there. So that's nrdavy.co.uk.
Okay.
So if you want to see some of the written stuff,
I might
you can track that down there.
Very, very good. And anything else to add, my good friend?
I think that's a very good positive start.
Yeah, very good. Okay, we're going to close this one out. And the music you will be hearing soon and that you heard at the beginning of the episode is The Year Was Strange by E-Nub, I-I-N-U-B, band out of Massachusetts. And you can find them on all your regular streaming services, pretty much. Recommend looking them up. Thanks, Neil.
Cheers, Chris. Till the next time.